Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, May 30th, 2021. Pastor Paul Talberg.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm going to reread a portion of that awesome thing that Isaiah was told to record for us. Called workers get a lot of comfort from what is put into that little section. It is what inspires us. It's what encourages us. It what powers us and reminds us that the public ministry is not a job. God calls you into the public ministry, and then God takes care of you in the public ministry. And at the end of the public ministry, God calls you home. Well, wasn't that for us if we're not called workers? The Lord puts so much into his word. Again, reading from the book of Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two they covered their faces. With two they covered their feet. With two they flew. One called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of armies. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of the one who called. And the temple was filled with smoke. Then I said, "I'm doomed. I'm ruined. I'm a man with unclean lips. I dwell among a people with unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord of armies." What a powerful picture we have. The temple was way big. Isaiah is minding his own business. Then God interrupts his life. Notice Isaiah does not ask for anything. He does not invite God to come into his presence. Isaiah is minding his own business, and the God of gods, the Lord of lords, interrupts his life, shows him something he was not expecting. And what did he show him? The Lord, high and exalted, so that the bottom part of his robe packed the temples. You couldn't get in. The bottom part of his robe packed the temple, and there was smoke. And then there's angels. Oh, these angels, there's only time they're mentioned is here. Seraphim. Two wings that they fly, two wings that cover their face, two wings that cover their feet. They're really close to the Lord God. They are holy angels, and they sing his praises. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Wow. God interrupts people's lives. God can do that because God owns every life. He owns the planet. The scriptures tell us that God sets up nations and puts down nations. The scripture tells us that God is the one who allows us to live healthy lives or unhealthy lives. God is the one who controls every last thing on the planet. He can interrupt as he sees fit because he is the owner of everything. I can go into my car anytime I want. Why? Because I own it. If there's another car that looks like mine, and I try to get in there, the alarms will go off because it's not my car. God is the owner of everything. And he interrupted, without being asked, So you see one thing right here. God takes the first step. He took the first step in the Garden of Eden to find those lost people. He takes the first step here to encourage Isaiah. God first. So now what happens? What happens when Isaiah sees God? Does he start telling God about all the good stuff he's done, how he's a good, faithful guy, how he is raising up his kids really, really nice? Does he tell God about how the fact that his parents have been followers of the coming Messiah, how he goes to worship in the temple, looking forward to the Messiah, and he participates in the sacrifices because the Messiah is coming? He doesn't say any of that. He does what sinners do when the presence of the Holy God is made known to them. He says, I'm doomed. I am toast. I'm dead to rights. There's a target on me and I'm gone. There is no hope. What am I going to do? I am a sinner. I am unclean from the bottom of my feet to my lips. It just comes out. And I live among people of unclean lips just like me. See, Isaiah knew the scriptures. The scriptures say all of us have sinned. The scriptures say the thoughts of man's heart are only evil all the time. The Apostle Paul said, the good that I want to do, I don't do that. The evil that I don't want to do, that I keep on doing. Who's going to rescue me? The same problem. I am doomed in front of the living God. Please notice what he doesn't do. He does not ask God for anything. He is just terrified because he knows who he is. He is terrified. He is a sinner and deserves nothing. How come he's even looking at the real living God? And again, without Isaiah asking, the Lord sends one of these awesome critters, these seraphim. Oh, can you imagine those? And he comes and he sends them, first of all, to the altar. In the Old Testament, the altar used to have the place be the place where God's people would remind themselves that it takes a sacrifice. Somebody has to die for my sin. In the Old Testament, repeatedly animals had to be sacrificed for sin, but that was just a picture of the coming Messiah. And so what did this angel do? He, with tongs, he went and took one of those hot burning coals from that sacrifice, and he came over to Isaiah and he touched his lips. And then comes some really strange words when you think about it. He said, look, this has touched your lips, so your guilt is taken away. Your sin is forgiven. A burning coal? That's not what took away sin. A burning coal on the altar? No, that's not what took away. What took away sin was the fact that that was a picture of what Jesus was going to do on a cross. Jesus, the Son of God, was going to come into the flesh, live for everybody, take up every sin, and then sacrifice himself. Whoa. That would take care of sin. The holy, sinless Son of God offering up himself in the place of every sinner, including Isaiah. And Isaiah trusted that. So God came into Isaiah's life without asking. God stepped into Isaiah's life again and forgave him his sin without asking. And Isaiah is just astounded. Think for a minute what happened. Isaiah goes from terror, I'm doomed, there's no hope, to now he's completely forgiven. Heaven is his home. And God lets him hear one more thing. Again, God is starting everything. God has a conversation with himself. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? That's words of God. Whom shall I send? And Isaiah, he just can't keep it in. Me, here I am, send me. Nobody made him do that. Nobody put his feet to the fire. Nobody laid a guilt trip on that man. That man knew what had happened with his sin, and you couldn't keep him quiet. When the Lord says, whom shall I send? He says, me. I know who you are, the loving, gracious God. I was kidding people when they came in. They saw me with this baseball bat. And he said, oh, you're going to keep people in line? You're going to knock people on the head in case they fall asleep or something? That's our normal, natural thing. And God says, the supernatural is this, the truth. I am the God of free and faithful grace. And I love you to pieces. I don't want anyone or anything to come between us. And that's how come my son stepped into history. That's how come my son lived and died for you. And that's how come my son came back to heaven, sent the Holy Spirit to be with you until the very last day. Because I want you to know the truth. That I forgive you. As I told Isaiah, your guilt is gone. So what's with the baseball bat? Hopefully this will work. It does. St. Patrick used a leaf to show a king that was out to get him that about the Trinity. It's another picture of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God. There's another picture of the Holy Trinity. Three in one. That's all pictures of the Holy Trinity. And if you're left your head scratching, it's okay, because we don't get this. God has recorded it very clearly in his word. We just don't understand it. But this is who he really is. The Father isn't the Spirit. The Spirit isn't the Son. The Son isn't the Father. Only the Son died. Only the Spirit was sent. And that leads us to this. Baseball diamond. What can you do to take the truth of God's word that you've heard and share it? Well, my guess is that sometime during the next couple months, you might be going to a baseball game or see a baseball game. We saw JJ. He did a really good job on his baseball game, by the way. It's awesome. You can use the baseball bat and this sermon to help somebody understand who God is, who may not know. You might start off the conversation like this, say, hey, I just got back from church. I remember this the other day we have a pastor walked in church with a baseball bat. In fact, somebody even noticed that he was carrying it on the correct shoulder. How cool is that? Your pastor's not known for baseball? No. But he use a baseball bat because he said we could use it to share with other people the truth that we're going to learn that day. Well, yeah. Well, what is that truth? The truth is about the Trinity, the three in one. You can use all sorts of things in a baseball game to do that. Three strikes, you're out, right? There are three sets of three innings, yeah? But there's something else. Sure, there is. There is first, second, third base. Oh, yeah, that's kind of cool. But it's also called a baseball diamond. A diamond is two triangles back to back. And a diamond is used, and a triangle is used to describe who the Holy Spirit is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who the triune God is. Sure, it's going to do it now. Here we are. There we are. So what happens is you can use that as an excuse to talk about what's really, really important. Because although I have sons, I call my son-in-law's boys, my boys, they really like baseball. They really like the Brewers. My dad really liked the Cardinals. But no matter how much you really like them, guess what? They don't last for eternity. God is eternal. Our souls are eternal. And the only ones who get into God's eternal presence in a full of wonderful blessing are those who trust that Jesus did what he said he did. And although I would have used seraphim, God chooses to use us to tell fellow sinners, I know what it's like. I know what it's like to be a rotten sinner. I know what it's like to have no hope. I know what it's like to be at the bottom of the barrel. I know. And God knows. And God took care of me. I didn't ask. He just forgave me my sin. And God wants you to know that. So God says, who shall I send? Who? I don't say, here I am, God, send that person. Here I am, God, send Adam in the corner. Here I am, God, why don't you send Al Bunt over there? No, God doesn't say that. God says, oh, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? We say, here I am, send me. Put me in, Lord. Let me come on your side and work right now in whatever way I can. Notice that Isaiah didn't say, he didn't say, let me pack up first. He didn't say, before I commit to this following you, what's it all involved here? Do I have to go anyplace? Do I have to learn another language? He's none of that. He just said, God, you forgave my sin. Now you want somebody to go for you? Here I am. So this week, keep that in the back of your mind. You might forget most of this. If you go to a baseball game, I pray that you'll remember to use that time, that opportunity to share what God has done for us. In Jesus' name, so let us live. Amen. And now may God's peace, which goes beyond all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.